Hi, Donovan. I wanted to share this photo with your audience. I live on a sizable farm in Ohio, where the most exciting visitors are usually just raccoons or the occasional deer. That's why this picture is so astonishing. It was captured on one of my trail cams set up in the backwoods of the property. Now I know what you're thinking. There are no wolves in Ohio, and you'd be correct, at least that's what we all believed. This wolf, or whatever it is, was as unexpected as a snowstorm in July. The camera caught it in the early hours of the morning, around 6 a.m. It must have been passing through because it's the first and only time I've seen it. Its presence was almost ghostly. Everyone I've shared this with is as baffled as I am. Some speculate it could be a lone wanderer from a northern pack. Others wonder if it's a sign of nature reclaiming its old paths. I thought your audience would appreciate this picture. Let me know what you think.
Before we get into today's stories, I want to thank today's sponsor, NordVPN, for solving some issues that not only save time, but money too. Ever been bummed out because you couldn't watch your favorite show due to those annoying location blocks? Or how about when you're hunting for deals on flights and hotels, only to see the prices skyrocket? Yeah, I've been there too, but here's where it gets interesting. With NordVPN, I've managed to bypass those blocks to access shows and movies from anywhere. Seriously, any country's library is fair game. In those deals, I've saved quite a bit on travel by appearing to browse from different countries and snagging prices that I wouldn't otherwise see. But it's not all about fun and savings. Online security is also a big deal for me. Ever think about how much personal information we just throw out there? Well, with NordVPN, I feel secure. It's a peace of mind knowing that my data is encrypted. It's safe from hackers and prying eyes. And hey, I wouldn't leave you hanging without a sweet deal. If you use my personal link, it gets you an extra 4 months free on a 2-year plan. You can click the link below or in the pinned comment. It's nordvpn.com/Donovan. It's a solid investment in your online freedom and security. Trust me. You're going to wonder how you ever managed without it.
Maria was on a mission surveying the wildlife in Olympic National Park. She was meticulously noting the vibrant life teeming around her. But on the day this all happened, the forest fell eerily silent. The air thickened. Turning slowly, her eyes met an inexplicable sight, a towering figure that blurred the line between myth and reality. What lay ahead would be the most terrifying day of her life. Maria always had a way with nature. She could sit for hours beneath the dense canopy of the Ho rainforest, a tapestry of greens and browns that stretched endlessly in all directions. The Olympic National Park was her favorite place to research, where she could escape the constant buzz of her busy life over in Seattle. The park rangers knew her by name, and they often waved as she passed by. Her backpack loaded with the tools of her trade, notebooks, cameras, and the small, delicate instruments used to measure and record details of the forest life that most other people don't even notice. On this particular morning, the mist hung low between the ancient trees. Maria, as usual, moved with purpose, but not too quickly. Her boots basically knew their own way on the damp, leaf-littered path. She was conducting a survey, a routine part of her job, but one she approached with a complete respect for the flora and fauna around her. The usual chatter of birds had been her constant companion since she stepped into the forest at dawn. But as the morning wore on, a strange feeling crept over her on this day. A stillness settled upon the woods, as if someone had pressed a mute button on the world. The bird song that had been so vibrant suddenly ceased, leaving a void that you could practically taste. Maria paused, her hand automatically reaching for the recorder at her side, thinking that something might be about to happen. She stood perfectly still, her breath slow and even, trying to understand this sudden change. The air felt charged. She was heavy with anticipation, and her heart began to beat a little faster. That's when she felt it. Not so much saw or heard, but felt a presence. Maria turned slowly, almost afraid to break the spell and actually see what might be nearby. And there it was. It was a figure, large and imposing, standing on two legs like a man, but there was nothing human about it. Its body was covered in hair, dark and matted, blending with the trunks of the trees. Maria's eyes widened as she took in the sight before her. The creature was easily over 7 feet tall, its shoulders broad and hulking, casting a shadow that seemed to absorb the dim light filtering through the canopy. Its head was large, crowned with a wild mane that cascaded down its back, merging seamlessly with dense fur covering its body. The face, though, partially obscured by strands of hair, it bore two deeply set eyes that glowed with an intelligent, almost curious light. Its nose was broad and flat, flaring slightly as it seemed to scent the air. In its mouth, though closed, was wide, hinting at the power of the jaw hidden beneath. Maria felt a mix of fear and fascination. The creature's hands were particularly striking, ending in fingers that were long and seemed almost delicate, a stark contrast to its otherwise formidable appearance. These hands, though, were not empty. In one, it clutched what appeared to be a bundle of herbs. This detail, more than anything, suggested an intelligence and purpose that went beyond mere animal instinct. Maria couldn't help but feel that this being was as much a part of the forest as the ancient trees and moss-covered rocks. Her mind raced. Every logical fiber in her being told her this couldn't be real, that what she was not really there. Yet, there it stood, a living, breathing creature that defied explanation. Then, as suddenly as it appeared, the creature turned and the brush swallowed it up with barely a sound, leaving Maria to question if she had seen anything at all. But she had. She knew it, and before she could second-guess herself, Maria followed. She pushed through the ferns in the thickets, her eyes scanning for any sign of the creature. It seemed impossible that something so large could move so silently, could disappear so completely. Yet there was no trace, not even a broken twig or a disturbed patch of moss to suggest what direction it had gone. Maria moved deeper into the forest, her senses on high alert. The silence around her was oppressive, and she could feel the weight of countless eyes watching from the shadows. She didn't know what she was chasing or why, but something primal within her urged her on. Hours passed, or maybe minutes. Time seemed to warp and weave like the patterns of light that filtered through the leaves above. Maria's rational mind battled with the raw emotion of the hunt. She was the scientist, the observer, but now she felt like a part of the forest itself, caught up in an ancient and unspoken drama. As the minutes turned to hours, Maria realized she was lost, not just directionally, but in every sense. The creature was gone, and with it, the clarity of purpose that had made her follow it into the depths of the forest. She was alone, surrounded by the towering trees with no evidence of her encounter, except the pounding in her chest. Maria found her way back to the path as the last light of day faded. The forest resumed its evening sounds, indifferent to the human who walked in silence and confusion. When she emerged from the tree line, the park rangers were there at the trailhead, with worried looks their faces. They had noticed her car and realized that she had been gone much longer than planned. She tried to explain, to tell them about the creature she had seen, but words sounded crazy, even in her own ears. The rangers seemed to be looking at her in a way that wondered if she was all right. But Maria just shook her head. She knew what she had seen and believed herself that it all had been real. As Maria left the park that evening, she looked back through her rearview mirror, almost as if to see if an explanation would present itself. But of course, the forest looked just as normal as ever, and all she could do was continue on. You know, I had this idea in my head once that I was untouchable, like nothing bad could really stick to me. I mean, we all go through that phase, right? When we were young, and it feels like we've got this invisible armor. I thought my body was this unbreakable fortress, my job a sure bet. Tragedy was something that happened to other people, not me. Man, was I naive, really naive. And I want to tell you what happened to me here in Portland, Oregon.
So,
Let me take you back to where it all kind of spiraled. I found myself jobless, which was heartbreaking. It was a big layoff, and a bunch of us were shown the door. Some folks managed to land on their feet, but luck wasn't having it with me. Before I knew it, everything I had was gone, and I ended up just another face on the street. But this isn't one of those stories about trying to make it in a tough economy or anything like that. It's about what I saw when I was out there, living rough on the streets. I put together this little spot for myself under a bridge, made it out of cardboard and some really beat-up blankets. Not my proudest setup, but you do what you have to do, right? Each night, after rummaging through dumpsters for a bit, I'd crash there, trying to ignore the grime and let the noise of the city sort of lull me to sleep. I basically told myself that this was only temporary, and that's how I'd get through each day. I'd lie there, staring at the factory spires that you could see, off on the edge of town, all shut down and quiet. I wanted to dream about the good old days when I actually worked in places like that. But dreams of living like that, at that moment of my life, were a luxury I didn't have right then. Then one night, everything just went silent, like the city had lost its voice. I got this weird feeling, so I peeked out into the dark, and that's when I saw it. This thing comes out of nowhere. It's huge, and it's got these wings, kind of like a moth's wings. And its eyes, they were glowing red, just fixed on me. I tell you, I was scared out of my mind. It moved towards me, and I swear, the air around it felt charged. It was like the whole world was bending around this thing. It looked right at me, and I felt like how you feel when you see something dead on the road. Except this time, I was the roadkill. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I was backed up against the bridge, feeling this heavy air as the creature spread its wings. Then, it let out this screech that shook everything. My little shelter just collapsed. Pure instinct kicked in, and I bolted. I ran through the streets with this thing behind me. It wasn't like it was chasing me exactly. It was more like it was just swallowing everything up around me. The city I knew was turning into this stage for a horror show. I was ducking through alleys trying to lose it, but it felt like it was just toying with me. The neon lights flickered as I passed. Everything just felt wrong. I knew I wasn't going to outrun it, but I had to try. I ended up at this old factory, and it felt like walking into a memory. Cold metal, rust. It should have been familiar, but it wasn't. I was looking for any kind of cover, any kind of escape from whatever was behind me. I could hear it, even inside. Its wings, its feet. Everything was just echoing in the darkness. How could I have ever thought I was safe from stuff like this? I found some stairs and climbed, desperate to get away. But it kept following. I was at the top, on this ledge, and I knew I was cornered. That's when it hit me. Maybe there was never any way out of this. I faced it, and the creature screeched again. The whole place was shaking. I thought it was going to bring the whole building down on me. Just when I thought that was it, I fell. Next thing I know, I'm waking up in a hospital bed. Relatives I hadn't seen in ages were there, looking down at me. The cops, the doctors, they all thought I'd tried to off myself. They couldn't understand what had really happened. But that night changed everything. I don't live on the streets anymore. Got help from some social workers, and now I've got a job again. By most accounts, I'm doing okay. But there's this part of me that can't shake the fear of the darkness and of the night. That creature is still out there. I'm sure of it. And who's to say it won't come back for me? Maybe I'm being irrational, but I can't change what my brain is telling me. Hopefully, sharing it here will help.
All right, let me tell you about this one time I was at the Tallgrass Prairie. If you don't know it, it's that massive stretch of grassland just outside Wichita, Kansas. I've always been drawn to that place. It's my go-to spot whenever I need to get some inspiration or just escape for a while.
So, there I was, just doing my usual walk along the trails. It was one of those days where the air feels heavy, like something's about to happen, but you can't quite put your finger on what it is. Sort of like it's about to rain, but not. I was alone that day, or at least I thought I was. I had my notebook with me, which is not unusual. I'm a writer, and so I always do.
hoping to snag some story ideas from the whole vibe of the prairie. As I walked, I started to feel something odd. You know how sometimes you get that feeling that you're not alone? It was like that, but not scary or anything. Just like maybe there were other people there or something, but I couldn't see anyone else, and so that was weird. I figured it was just my imagination running wild again. Mine is very overactive, which is why I became a writer. I just need to get all of those thoughts out. But then things really started to get weird. I started hearing whispers. Yeah, I know, it sounds nuts, but they were there for sure. Soft and hushed, like they were floating on the breeze. I stopped dead in my tracks and looked around. The grass was still, but there was this one spot, kind of an odd patch, where the grass was moving like there was something going on over there. Curiosity got the better of me, and I had to check it out. So I walked over, right? And in the middle of this clearing, surrounded by wildflowers, I saw it. It wasn't something you could easily wrap your head around. What I saw was this creature that looked like it stepped right out of a fantasy book. It was like Mother Nature herself had crafted it from the ground up. Its skin was literally made up of grass and leaves, and it moved with this elegant grace that just didn't seem real. It looked at me, and swear to you, it had the wisest eyes I've ever seen. They were alive, like they knew everything about the prairie that I didn't, and I just knew deep down that this creature was a part of the land in a way I could never be. It was like I was meeting the guardian spirit of the prairie or something. The whispers, they were coming from it, I realized. It was like the sound of the oldest stories the earth could tell, the kind you feel in your bones. I was freaked out, but totally mesmerized at the same time. I reached out, I had to touch it, to prove to myself it was real. But the moment my hand got close, the creature stepped back. It moved away so smoothly, just blending back into the prairie, and the whispers died down. Everything went back to normal, like nothing had happened. I just stood there for who knows how long, trying to remember every little detail about it, trying to decide if it was some kind of hallucination or not. But I knew it wasn't. I knew by the way that the sunlight hit its skin, the whisper of its movement, the look in its eyes that just screamed ancient. I didn't want to forget a single thing. When I finally left, I had this story inside me that was just burning to get out. It wasn't something I made up. It was real as anything I've ever experienced, like it was handed to me on a silver platter. I wrote it all down, and the words felt alive, charged with all the emotion of that encounter. I can tell you for certain that Tallgrass Prairie is full of secrets, and it feels like I stumbled onto one of the biggest ones. Those whispers in the grass weren't just the wind. They were a voice of something that's been here way longer than any of us. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that my story isn't about being scared or some weird supernatural stuff. It's about how everything's connected, the land, the creatures, us. And sometimes you come across things that you just can't explain, but they remind you there's still magic in the world. And it's not the kind of magic you find in fairy tales. It's here, it's real, and it's in the whispering grass of the Kansas prairie. That's the kind of tale I've got to tell, and it's one I'll never forget.
So there I was on my usual hike along the Precipice Trail in Acadia National Park. It's a path I could walk with my eyes closed, one where every twist and route is a familiar friend. For some people, this might not sound adventurous, but for me, the routine of it was how I settled my mind. My name's Ella, by the way, and I'm from Portland, Maine. Nothing much to tell about me, just a regular person with a need for being outdoors, and a decent collector of trail shoes.
This trail, it's my go-to for clearing my head, you know? It's where I weigh my options about work, life, and all that stuff in between. It's usually just me, the wildlife, and the occasional fellow hiker nodding as we pass by each other. That day, though, the paths were quieter than usual, almost eerily so. I figured maybe it was the weather forecast keeping folks at home, expecting a storm that never came. I was about halfway through, right where the trees kind of huddle closer together. That's when I heard it, my name, Ella, clear as day, as if someone was standing right next to me. It was my own voice, or at least it sounded exactly like me, which almost made me lose it right there. I spun around, half expecting to see a friend pulling a prank, like someone I knew happened to be hiking right behind me, but there was no one. I laughed it off at first, thinking I had made it all up, but then it came again, a whisper carried on the wind. Ella. This time it sent an ice-cold shiver down my spine. I wasn't alone. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was watching me. You might think I'd be scared, but it was more like confusion at that point. I followed the sound, my feet leading me off the beaten path to a place I'd never been before. A hidden glen nestled away like a secret. The sunlight barely touched this spot. The trees were so thick around it. And there, perched on a branch, was this bird. Not like any bird I'd ever seen, though. It was big, with feathers that shimmered in colors I couldn't even name, like oil on water. Its eyes were like two black marbles, just staring at me as I entered the space. The strangest part? It opened its beak, and I watched as my voice came out, calling my name again. Not gonna lie, now I really thought I was losing it. I stood there, rooted to the spot, as this bird and I had a staring contest. It cocked its head from one side to the next very slowly, almost curiously, and then it started to make other sounds, like laughter, like someone typing on a keyboard, even like a car engine starting. It was like this bird had been listening to the world, and now it was showing off its collection of sounds. I tried to take a step closer, but the bird didn't seem to like that. It let out a sound that was so sharp, so piercing, it felt like it went straight through me. I stopped, holding my breath, and the bird, well, it slowly unfolded its wings. They were huge, its wingspan much larger than I expected, and they caught the light and reflected it back in this bright rainbow of colors. I remember wondering how something that brightly colored survived in nature. Then, with a single powerful beat of its wings, the bird launched itself into the air. The leaves rustled in the gust of wind that it created. The bird soared upwards, its wings slicing through the air with grace and precision. It didn't make a sound as it flew off. All its mimicry was left behind, hanging in the air like an echo. It circled once above the glen, and then it ascended above the tree line and vanished from my sight. The light that had briefly been touched by the colors of its feathers seemed duller now, the magic of the moment dissipating. I walked back to the trail, my mind racing, and I'm pretty sure my mouth was hanging open. Was that real? Some new species, maybe? A mutation? Or had the solitude finally gotten to me? Had I imagined the whole thing? The thing is, the more I thought about it, the less certain I was about what had happened. I couldn't even trust my own senses at this point. I was still in shock. Back on the trail, I kept looking over my shoulder, half expecting to see that bird again, or to hear my own voice floating through the trees. But nothing. It was like I'd stepped out of reality for a while, and now everything had snapped back to normal. I haven't told anyone about it. I mean, who'd believe me? It sounds crazy, doesn't it? A bird that can mimic anything, even a person's voice. But every time I go back to that trail, I can't help but listen for it, for my name to call to me again. So far, nothing. But I can't shake the feeling that out there, in a hidden glen, there's a creature with a voice stolen from me, waiting to be heard again. And I can't decide if I want to hear it or not. What do you think?
Yonkers, New York in the 90s was the kind of place where the unexpected seemed to blend seamlessly with the mundane. The city hummed with the lives of countless people, each caught up in their own routines and dramas. Officer Thomas was one of those people, his life dedicated to maintaining the peace that held these streets together. He was a third generation of his family to wear the badge, a fact that filled him with both pride and a sense of destiny. This was his only possible path in life.
But still, he wasn't the type to believe in premonitions or fate. Thomas preferred the solid, tangible evidence that could be scribbled down on a notepad, recounted in a report, or presented in court. But lately, a series of peculiar break-ins in his district had begun to erode his belief in the rational world. These weren't your typical smash and grabs. They were cleaner, quieter, and left the victims with an eerie sense of violation that seemed to be stranger than the theft of their valuables. Each case file landed on his desk with the same perplexing detail. No sign of forced entry. The locks remained intact, the windows sealed, the alarms silent. It was as if the intruder had simply passed through the walls like a ghost, leaving residents to wake to find their valuables missing. Thomas's investigation was methodical, each step taken with the precision of a well-rehearsed dance. He interviewed victims, canvassed neighborhoods, and reviewed hours of security footage that offered nothing but the occasional flutter of a passing moth. The thief, it seemed, was literally invisible. It was during one of these late-night reviews that he first saw it, a figure that was barely there, even on the high-definition footage. It moved with an unsettling fluidity, its form humanoid but wrong in proportions. The more he tried to focus on the figure, the more his head ached, as if his mind was refusing to comprehend what his eyes were seeing. His investigation took him deep into the belly of Yonkers, far from the gentrified surface of downtown. He found himself in the tangle of back alleys and forgotten sub-streets that the city had abandoned. He wasn't alone. The locals spoke in hushed tones about a figure that drifted through those darkest parts of the city. They called it the Wraith, a name that seemed to carry the weight of the world. Thomas's investigation led him to a derelict building that someone had told him to check out. The air inside was thick with the scent of mold and something else, something metallic and sharp that made his nostrils flare and his eyes water. Then he saw it. The creature was perched atop a pile of debris far off in a corner, its limbs splayed in an inappropriate imitation of human relaxation. It was vaguely humanoid, yes, but its skin was a pale gray, stretched taut over a skeletal frame. Its eyes, if they could be called that, were sunken pits of black. The thing cocked its head, and Thomas felt a shiver cascade down his spine. The movement was eerily reminiscent of a curious animal, but there was an intelligence in those eyes that was unmistakably predatory. He realized with a sickening drop in his stomach that he was not the hunter here, he was the hunted. His training told him to retreat, to call for backup, but his feet carried him forward until he stood just outside the creature's reach. So there he was, standing just out of reach of something he couldn't fully understand, something that was clearly not part of the world he'd sworn to protect. Yet, there was this unwritten understanding between them. Thomas could feel it didn't want to be here either. It didn't mean to cause harm. It was trapped, far from wherever it called home. Thomas decided in that moment to abandon the pursuit, and he backed out of the building, never taking his eyes off the creature. It stayed perched, watching him with those depthless pits. It was almost pitiful in a way. And now, he had a decision to make. He could go back, report it, and likely lead to an upheaval. The city would panic. But what good would it do? Who could even handle such a thing? Instead, he chose silence. He kept the information to himself and the existence of the creature a secret. The break-ins did continue, but Thomas found a pattern. They were less frequent and seemed to avoid homes. Now it was just random, unoccupied places. But eventually, weeks turned to months, and the strange occurrences in Yonkers began to dwindle. Thomas would walk his beat, feeling the weight of the city's unknowing trust on his shoulders, carrying the weight of the truth in a way that no one should have to, but he felt the responsibility. Then, just as silently as it had begun, the theft stopped. No more reports of missing valuables. No more unexplained break-ins. In the end, Thomas retired with a medal on his chest, and he took his secret with him. The Wraith, or whatever it was, became a part of the city's unspoken history, a chapter known to one man who kept it to himself for decades. At that point in time, the world didn't need to know about every shadow he figured, especially those that just passed through, looking for their way back home. But now he's sharing this with us because he feels that the world has changed, that people's minds have opened. And either way, the Yonkers thefts never began again. And so he feels it's safe to let the secret out. And he hopes that the creature finally found its way back home. Okay, let's dive into a tale from the West Coast. A story of Carlos, the kind of teacher you wish you had back in school. Not the kind who just sticks to textbooks and tests, but one who's filled with wonder and a mind curious about the mysteries of the world. He spends as much time he can out in the world trying to find real-life scenarios to pass on to his students. It was one of those heat waves in Fresno, California, when the heat seemed to make even the shadows sweat. Carlos spent his weekdays in a classroom that hummed with the sound of the old air conditioner, trying to keep the sweltering reality at bay, while he taught kids about the world beyond their city. But when the weekend rolled around, Carlos swapped chalk dust for trail dust, leaving behind the city for the Yosemite National Park, which was only about 70 miles from his house. This particular weekend felt different. He'd been following the same trails for years, but this time, as he laced up his boots and set out, the air felt charged, almost electric. He walked with a rhythm he was very familiar with, a soft crunch of boots on the path, the distant calls of birds. That day he decided to wander off of his usual path, just to mix things up and take his mind off the heat. This path was more shaded and offered an escape from the insects that were dive-bombing his sweat. As he made his way through the towering trees and huge granite cliffs, he couldn't shake off a peculiar sensation. It wasn't fear, really. More like the tickle of a thought that something was out of place. Like when you have something in the back of your head that's important, but you can't remember exactly what it is. That's when he saw it. A shape, a presence, that seemed both there and not there at the same time. It had the rough outline of a bear, but its edges blurred with its camouflage that was perfect. And also, the creature kept darting in and out of his field of view. His curiosity about it was high, as it always is, and he instantly decided to follow this confusing form. It moved in a way that made Carlos feel that the creature was a very comfortable part of the forest, but at the same time, distinctly separate. Every time he thought he'd lost sight of it, there it was again, almost like it was pausing so Carlos could continue. He tracked the creature, his heart a steady drum in his chest, the forest around him falling quiet, the usual sounds of wildlife non-existent. Or maybe Carlos was just so focused on watching that his mind wasn't hearing. He felt like he was walking into something that would be talked about for the rest of his life. Then, in a clearing bathed in the light of the setting sun, he caught up to the creature and got a good, clear look at it. It was still bear-like, yes, but he could see that its fur now shimmered with a luster that was not quite natural. Its eyes were dark and direct. They were moving back and forth in a way that showed its intelligence and ability to think and make decisions. The way Carlos felt in that moment was completely terrifying for him. As he stood there, his mind wrestled with what he was seeing. Was it real or was it not? A figment of his imagination, maybe. The creature then tilted its head, as if considering him, and in that moment, Carlos felt something that was totally beyond the need to classify and explain. At that point in time, it just didn't matter to him what it was. It was a moment suspended in time before the creature turned and vanished into the forest. And just like that, the spell was broken. The sounds of forest life returned. The rustle of leaves. The distant call of an owl. Carlos instantly knew that it was time to make his way back. He walked until he reached the familiar trail. The one that was familiar and yet forever changed at the same time. He wondered if he'd tell this story, share this encounter with his students, his friends, his family. Probably close friends and family, but maybe not the students. Parents can get pretty intense with the things their kids hear at school, and this wasn't exactly on the curriculum. He didn't want to get himself fired. Back in Fresno, as he walked the familiar streets, he carried with him memories of what he saw and experienced, and perhaps that was the real lesson he could pass on to his students. Without telling them the exact truth, he could teach them that the world is full of wonder, that sometimes the journey itself is the destination, and that some stories don't need an ending to be complete. Yep, he liked that plan. Turns out he learned a lot that day.
So there's this guy, Ellis, right? He's been a ranger at Yellowstone for more years than he likes to admit. Not the chatty type.
thinks more than he speaks. His friends back in Jackson would often tease him for being more at home with the pines and the peaks than with people at the bar. He'd just shrug, a hint of a smile hidden in his beard, always more comfortable in the vast quiet of the park than anywhere else. His day was like any other, ticking off the routine patrols and check-ins. But as the sun began its descent, painting the sky with those strokes of orange and purple, things took a turn for the unusual. The air was cooler, and the animals, they were quieter too, like they were all holding their breath. Even the wind seemed to whisper between the trees, carrying secrets it wasn't ready to tell. Now, Ellis had tracked all manner of wildlife, could tell you the difference between the prints of a juvenile bear and a full-grown one with just a glance. But that day, near the bank of a stream where the water babbled over rocks worn smooth by time, he found tracks that didn't belong to any critter he knew. They were too big, even for a grizzly, and had a strange pattern that didn't match anything in his hefty mental catalog of animal signs. Curiosity, that itch you can't quite scratch, got the better of him. He followed those tracks, his boots sinking slightly into the soft earth beside the stream. The shadows grew longer, and the forest felt like it was closing in, watching him with a thousand unseen eyes. There it was, at the edge of the trees where the dark started to swallow up the light, a figure tall and oddly shaped, like a man but not quite right. It was covered in what looked like fur, but it shone in the dim light in a way fur shouldn't. The thing stood motionless, and Ellis, well, he wasn't sure if he should call out or back away slowly. The stories old-timers would tell around campfires, the ones he'd laugh off, suddenly didn't seem so funny. He took a step closer, the leaves underfoot sounding louder than a shout in the silence. The figure turned, and Ellis got a proper look at it. The face was too angular, the eyes too deep-set, glowing with an intelligence that was unnerving. It wasn't threatening, but it wasn't inviting either. It was as if the creature was sizing him up, deciding what kind of being he was. Ellis stood there, rooted to the spot, his heart thumping in his chest like it wanted out. He'd faced down charging moose, stared into the yellow eyes of cougars without flinching. But this was a whole different ballgame. Fear tinged with fascination kept him locked in place, his breath fogging in the air as the temperature dropped. The creature, whatever it was, tilted its head, the movement eerily human. Ellis had a million questions racing through his mind, and not a single one made it to his lips. The standoff lasted only a few moments longer before the creature turned, stepping back into the forest, disappearing as silently as it had appeared. He didn't follow. Some things, he figured, are better left alone. Instead, he made his way back to the ranger station, his mind a whirlwind of thoughts. He didn't talk about what he saw. Who would believe him? The mountain man who spent too much time in the woods. But every now and then, when the sun dips low and the shadows stretch, Ellis finds himself wandering back to that stream, half hoping, half fearing he'll see those footprints again. And that's just it, you know? Out here, where the wild things are, there's so much we don't know, so many stories whispered by the wind. Ellis, he keeps those stories close, tucked away in a corner of his mind where the rational and the impossible meet. Because sometimes, the most incredible tales are the ones we're not sure how to end.
Hi, Donovan. I've been a big fan of your channel over the last few months, but I've always been a bit skeptical of the stories I've heard. I'm not skeptical anymore. Something happened to me this weekend, and I'm hoping someone out there could shed some light on it.
I'm big into cycling and spend most of my free time training or competing in events. I live in central PA, and most of the competitive events in my area happen during the summer months, so I spend fall and winter staying in shape and getting in as much bike time as possible. My goal this day was to hit a 70-mile round trip in 5 hours. For some cyclists, that's almost a leisurely stroll, but I live in a mountainous area and am riding uphill for a good portion of that time. I left around 11 a.m. and planned to be back just before dark at around 5. The first leg of my ride was pleasant, if a little cold. Despite a lot of sharp curves, there isn't much traffic in the area, so I don't have to be overly cautious of cars. The trouble came on my way back. It was around 2:30 p.m. when I turned around to make the trip home. I had lost some time as I had run into a few other cyclists I knew and spent a little time chatting with them. In passing, they had mentioned seeing some military vehicles, but I didn't really think much of it, though there weren't any military bases nearby. So, riding a little harder than usual, I started home hoping to still reach my front door by 5 p.m. It didn't take long before I hit a literal roadblock. There was a deep green Humvee stretched across the narrow road, and three men in forest camouflage standing around. Two were holding what looked like assault rifles, and the third was sitting behind the wheel. I was told the road beyond was impassable due to a rock slide, and I would need to take an alternate route. Explaining that I could navigate through on my bike came to no avail, and that I was basically SOL. I know that the military responding to such an insignificant incident was odd, but didn't really give it much thought, as all my attention was drawn to the fact that the only other route home I knew was going to take me 2 hours out of my way. Passes through the mountains are few and far between. So, I turned back around and began my extended ride home. Calling it a road does it more justice than it deserves. It was a single-lane potholed nightmare, and I always avoided it for just that reason. But it's all I had. Going slower than normal, because of the poor road conditions, I began making my way down it. After about 30 minutes, I was beginning to think that maybe it wasn't so bad. The road seemed to have been patched in a few places, and some of the lower-hanging tree limbs had been trimmed. I was slowing down to take a drink of water from my bottle when I caught something from the corner of my eye. It was moving as fast as I, whatever it was. I thought maybe it was a deer or something, but it had more of a loping gait than a deer's prance. Not really concerned, I came to a full stop to try to get a better look. It was behind a thick patch of brush about 30 yards away. It was hard to make out any details, but it was covered in muddied brown fur. Thinking it might be a black bear, I started pedaling again, keeping my eyes on it. Bears nearly never attack people, but I figured it's best not to chance it. Then it stood up. Its head crested the 7-foot-high patch of bushes. An elongated muzzle, like a wolf, sat in front of a pair of narrow amber eyes. It opened its maw and let out an almost human-like scream. I took off down the road, pumping as fast as my legs would let me. I heard it crash through the forest undergrowth as it leapt out onto the road behind me. Despite being on an uneven road, I had to be going over 30 miles per hour, and it was keeping up with me. I could hear its padded footsteps coming from behind, and it let out another skin-crawling howl. I have never ridden so hard in my entire life. 10 minutes. Then 15 minutes. Then 20 minutes later, this thing was still behind me. If it wasn't for the pure adrenaline of terror, I would have collapsed already. Anytime I felt even the slightest urge to slow, the creature let out another feral scream and my energy became renewed. At one point, I came to a sharp curve and one of those blind spot mirrors was mounted along the roadside. It had been knocked out of place and was positioned so I could see what was behind me. It was running on all fours. Fangs bared as globs of saliva flew back from its mouth. I glimpsed a foot with several dagger-like claws extending from it. Through the mirror, me and the beast made quick eye contact, and seeing its quarry's face, it let out another human howl and quickened its pace. I was nearing the point of exhaustion and knew that I couldn't keep the pace any longer. Involuntarily beginning to slow, I had mental flashes of being torn to shreds by the creature. Just as it started to catch up, a light appeared on the road ahead. I couldn't see the vehicle yet, but waved my arms frantically. As it got closer, I could see it was another military Humvee, and it began to slow. I heard one last howl behind me, and the creature disappeared into the forest alongside the road. The truck came to a stop just as I reached it, and several soldiers jumped out. They began questioning why I was there and how I'd gotten past the checkpoint. I explained there was no checkpoint, and that I was just on my way home. One of the soldiers walked away talking into a radio, and the others began to question why I waved them down, and why I was so obviously distraught. The story just flooded out of my mouth, and throughout they continued giving each other looks, and one even took a few notes. When I was done, one of the soldiers told me that the rock slide in the area must have agitated the few bears around, and that's what I had seen. I tried explaining that was not the case at all, but he insisted that I had seen a bear. The man who walked away came back to confirm that no checkpoint was placed on the road, and they offered to give me a ride the rest of the way. I don't think I was really being given a choice and would have accepted anyway. They didn't say a word on the ride, and where they eventually left me off was a short distance from my house. I know without any doubt in my mind that it wasn't a bear. Whatever that thing was, well, you can't find it in a zoo, that's for sure. Has anybody else seen anything like this? I'm a park ranger at the Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota. Now, being a park ranger isn't exactly Ghostbusters, but this one night, let's say it made me reconsider the job description. I've always loved nature. It's something I take pride in, being one of the guardians of the park. I remember it was a Tuesday, around the third week of October, picture-perfect autumn day. It was one of the clearest nights I can remember. A lot of our work, although beautiful at times, can be quite routine, and I was doing the good old rounds that evening. I was mainly checking on the campsites and making sure the trails were clear. It had rained the previous day, and North Dakota's clay-rich soil gets pretty slippery when wet, a real nightmare for the weekend hikers. As I was patrolling, I'd occasionally stop to admire the scenery and watch the prairie dogs scuffling in the grass, or the sudden rush of nocturnal creatures waking up as the sun dipped below the horizon. I had just checked on the peaceful Valley Ranch, ensuring no enthusiastic wildlife photographer had decided to stay behind, when I got a strange sensation. It started as a slight chill despite the fleece jacket I had on. I remember squinting my eyes in the deepening twilight, trying to adjust my vision. Something seemed off. The once vivacious prairies seemed unusually still. The hooting owls, the rustling grass, even the distant sounds of the Little Missouri River. It was like someone had pressed mute on the remote. Then came a scent, light and flowery. Perfume? In the middle of the national park after sundown. I wrote it off thinking some picnicker might have left a bottle behind, and it was spreading due to the evening wind. But the wind was calm that evening, and the scent wasn't static. It felt like it was drifting, like someone passed by me doused in it. Next was a series of whispers. Yes, whispers. I turned around, expecting a troop of lost visitors, but I couldn't see anyone in the twilight. Yet, I was sure I heard someone. It wasn't like the winds carrying voices from the distant village either. These were close, like someone was whispering right behind me, a soft breeze carrying a single, indiscernible word. In my years as a park ranger, I have come across my share of weird experiences, but they mostly involved humans and their odd behaviors. This, though, I was ill-prepared for this. Up till then, I had passed off each odd occurrence as an isolated, explainable anomaly. The chill could just be the weather. The silence was maybe the predators lurking about. The flowery perfume may be an actual flower. The whispers were just the wind. But one after the other, all in a single evening patrol. It's not like I haven't been around these parts at night before. I just couldn't shake off the feeling that something, or maybe even someone, was toying with me. I was on the verge of steering my Jeep around and booking it, when out of the corner of my eye, I saw something moving. No, not moving, floating. I turned my flashlight in that direction, paling at the sight in front of me. There, several yards away, was a figure. It was a silhouette in human form, transparent yet vivid against the rolling darkness. Its lack of feet that should be touching the ground were replaced by tendrils of mist swirling around the air. It was in constant motion. A plethora of softer wisps danced around the more solid figure. I could audibly hear my heartbeat thundering inside my head, threatening to rip out of my chest. Strangely, though terrifying, it didn't seem threatening. It had a sorrowful air to it, the way it hovered there, the gentle swaying, like a sad, forgotten melody on repeat. I remember reaching out instinctively, not to touch it. God knows what would have happened if I did. But more as an instinctive reflex of something you desire to reach out to rather than run away from. The figure seemed to respond. It turned and faced my direction, or at least I think it did. It had vacant, hollow spaces for eyes, yet I felt an intense gaze, a connection that sent shivers down my spine. The whispers grew louder, and this time around I could make out a single word, help. Then it was gone, just like that, disappeared, leaving no trace behind. Only the soft smell of that flowery fragrance left to prove that it was not just my imagination. For a good 10 minutes, I sat on the Jeep, numb, trying to make sense of it. Determined, I circled the spot, aiming my flashlight in and out of the shrubs, as if the creature would pop a hand and say boo. But as you can guess, nothing happened. I spent the next 2 hours in the ranger's office fervently skimming through old records, matching the description that I came across. There were stories, ghost stories, if you want to call them that, but each one was different from the next, each more puzzling and mysterious. When I finally left the office, I had more questions than answers. The next few days were strange, not because of the encounter, but rather because of the lack thereof. Part of me was relieved. I mean, who in their right mind would want to come across something like that each night? But another part was, how do I put it? Curious. That park is not just a park for me anymore. It's become a personal journey of nature's endless mysteries, of secrets buried within herself, waiting to be unraveled. My day ends as usual, and the whistle of the night creatures begins. With a hot coffee keeping my senses wide awake, I leave my station with newfound respect for the night and its mysterious creatures. This one encounter, as spooky as it was, has changed my outlook towards my job and life in general. Thank you for letting me share this. Let me tell you, this was a doozy of a night. I'm an avid hiker. You know, one of those folks who trades bright city lights for a starlit sky in the middle of nowhere. This happened during one of those nights of wanderlust. It's a few years back now. Pretty place, Sedona, Arizona. Red rocks, super dry but incredibly vibrant. As you might guess, I particularly favor the night hikes. There's something very in the moment about walking under a starlit sky. For me, it's something that is both soothing and kind of exhilarating. There I was, preparing to scale one of the trails that takes you through the heart of the desert landscape. Rough and arid plains spotted with sparse greenery. It's a whole different world at night, I'm telling you. Quiet, serene. Animals you wouldn't normally see during the day come out to roam. You feel alone and yet, in a peculiar manner, very much involved. You're a part of their world. I bet that's how people used to feel, generations before cities and day jobs. I had my pack slung over my shoulder, some trail mix, a flashlight, plenty of water, and had just begun my steady ascent along the beaten path. There really isn't much about these adventures that worries me anymore. Years of these hikes teach you two things, appreciation and respect. I was, however, unaware that the night was set to test my resolve and teach me a third lesson, fear. I was nearly halfway in. The crystal clear sky was above me. The red clay of the trail glowed faintly like some Martian landscape. I had a pair of small binoculars with me too, mostly to watch nocturnal birds and the occasional curious critters. I saw a ringtail cat rustling through some dry bushes, a familiar sight in these parts. It was blissfully unaware of me. As time wore on, the nocturnal desert sounds I'd come to find comforting seemed to grow quieter. You know, the little rustles and distant calls of wildlife. Things that should have been background noise but, in their absence, felt like the silence before a gruesome storm. I didn't think much of it, rationalizing it away as maybe a predator lurking nearby. That usually sends the little guys into hiding. I wouldn't expect a fox or a coyote to approach me, though. I was safe, I thought. As I moved further along the trail, I began to feel it, an eeriness. It was a sensation best described as walking across someone's grave, uncomfortable and unsettling. It was like I was doing something wrong, and my body knew it. I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. The air suddenly felt icy. I shrugged it off initially. Desert nights can be cold, but this was different. Then came the sound. It was faint, like stones being moved or falling. Seemed to be coming from up ahead, somewhere off the trail. I stopped, just stood still, trying to pick it out again. But there was nothing besides the unnatural quiet settling over the desert evening. At that moment, I felt it. I can't say for sure what it was, but I felt, watched, hunted maybe? A shudder passed through me. Despite the rational part of my brain loudly reminding me that I was likely alone in the desert, the sensation was hard to shake. A clatter snapped me out of my head, louder than before. It was then I realized what I was hearing seemed less like falling stones and more like claws on rocks. The nocturnal desert, which once left me with an impression of being alive, now felt frighteningly alien. Something about the night was off, but quite honestly, I didn't realize then just how off it was about to get. It felt like a monstrous game of cat and mouse was about to begin. I swear it was like a scene straight out of a pulpy horror novel. My dad used to read those. I didn't think they were based on true stories. Backing down wasn't an option, and I thought it best to continue along the trail. I hoped it was merely my imagination running wild in the wilderness. So, flashlight in hand, I ventured onward. I was unaware of the encounter that was waiting for me. The encounter would serve as a permanent reminder of the desert's most frightening mysteries. The night was about to turn into one of the most uncanny experiences of my life. Anyway, there I was, caught in this strange pocket of silence, when something darted out from the bushes on the side of the trail. This thing moved faster than anything I'd ever seen. It wasn't quite lizard-like. It was up on 2 feet, man. 2 feet. And this sucker was big. Nothing like the lizards you usually see scampering across the rocks. The sight nearly knocked the wind out of me. It was covered in scales that shimmered under the moonlight. I can't estimate its height precisely. It towered over me, so it must have been at least 6 feet tall. That's when real fear set in. The kind that roots you to the spot. It darted across my path, quicker than I could blink, and looked back at me for just a moment before disappearing into the bush on the other side. Yellow eyes, piercing as the desert sun, stared straight at me. I swear it felt colder than any winter's night. If anyone told me this story, I would have had a good laugh, but standing there I knew I'd encountered something truly indescribable, something unnatural. My stomach was in knots with a gaping tension that wouldn't dissipate. Despite the fear gnawing at me, curiosity prevailed, and I forced myself to move. Soon I was standing in the spot where the creature had crossed. In the dust of the trail was the clear impression of a large triangular footprint. I could see the outline of massive claws protruding from the imprint. It was like nothing I'd seen on my hikes. Evidence that this wasn't just my imagination running wild. I stayed on that trail for a while, almost hoping to catch another glimpse, perhaps to better understand what I had seen. But the desert was quiet once again, and the creature was gone as suddenly as it had come. Yet I knew the wilderness and my hikes would never feel the same again. In the days following, I couldn't get the image out of my head. The creature's scale-covered body, its odd gait, the yellow of its eyes. I was awestruck but also wary. I didn't know what to make of this encounter. Didn't know if I was ready for what the desert could hold beyond the familiar. I finally shared this story with a few of my hiking buddies, half expecting them to rib me about nighttime desert mirages. Instead, I was greeted with stories of similar encounters, and most prominently of the urban legend of the reptilian, a creature of many mysteries and few sightings. Their accounts gave me a little comfort. Strangely, this encounter also left me with a broader perspective. It's easy to become complacent and overconfident when you believe you know everything there is to know. That night, the desert trail, which I'd hiked countless times before, showed me an entirely new face. It made me reassess my place in the wilderness I so dearly loved. So, there it is. A tale worth telling, I believe. To all listening, take it as wild fantasy or a warning. Remember this, each trail walked and each mountain climbed carries secrets we might never imagine until we encounter them. After all, one man's hike is another creature's stomping ground.